Surely is wonderful to be saved, is it not? Thankful for the service today thus far. I'm glad God is willing to meet with us and let us exercise our liberty in Him. And I want to encourage that we not let liberty slip, but that we use the liberty of God and in service, in a public service, and in every day of our life. We're free to serve Him, worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Brother James, in his prayer, mentioned something like this, that we might know who God is, that we might know, I believe he said, who you are or who God is. Struck me because how important that is, to know God, and to know who He is, to know what He is, and then to understand in that power, authority that He is, He has extended Himself to us. Now that's mercy. And the Bible said, God is a spirit. And we that are to worship Him and would worship Him, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. My message today, I feel impressed to give, is a message that we've already talked at length about, but I want to go back to the Holy Spirit and consider some more of the Holy Spirit, the part of God that manifests Himself to man, that enlightens man, that convicts man, that dwells in man, who is the one sent from God, or the one Jesus sent, the Comforter, the power of God, the authority of God, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to talk about, and here I'm going to tell you how this little thought came to me. It doesn't sound so spiritual, but this is how the thought came to me. You've heard of the little exclamation, "You're all wet." And never, normally we use that in a less than generous term. But here's what the Lord gave me, or came to me this way. God wants to look on us and say, "You're all wet." Fully immersed in Him. Fully baptized, wet on the outside, wet on the inside. Fully baptized, fully immersed into God. That our relationship with the Father would be totally wet. I hope you understand, and maybe understand as we go along. That you and me, inside and out, would have the presence, the love, the glory of God in our life. The heart pure, the mind clear, the outward man honoring God with its appearance, its words, and its actions. Totally and completely immersed down into the depth of God and His power, His authority, in His identity. And as we said, God now is a spirit. And it behooves us to seek out Him for who He is, not according to our conscience or our thinking, but according to who God truly is, and not try to manufacture Him based on human taste and human understanding, but to present our bodies, our minds, and our hearts. I believe when Paul wrote that, he meant the whole person, a living sacrifice, willing to change all manner of error in my life, whether it be sin or whether it be misconceptions, whether it be prejudices and biases, whether it be something that I have defended or something I have wrestled with, to present our bodies, ourselves, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, to allow His Spirit to be a dynamic, living, guiding, rejuvenating force in our life. That God would be so developed, if we can use that word, I believe Paul said, formed in us, that He would be the essence of who we are and the influence above all other influences in this world, being totally, totally wet, immersed in the Lord. I would like to go to a scripture in Joel, the 2nd chapter and the 15th verse. 2 and 15 of Joel. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. What do you think about when you hear the term blow the trumpet or sound the trumpet? What do we expect when there's a siren that goes off? When I think of the herald sounding the trumpets, I also believe that I need to listen because an announcement is forthcoming. Somebody important has got something to say. The Lord commanded Joel to say this to the people. Get ready for some instructions. Prepare yourself and your hearts and your minds. Sanctify a fast. Call a very serious assembly. Don't come scattered. Don't come with, I want to hurry up and get through with this. But come with a recognition that something wonderful is going to be proclaimed. Blow the trumpet. I want to read a little and think a little bit about that this morning. That God wants to announce something very precious to you and to me. God wants us to hear something that's critical. Something that we don't need to lightly pass over. We don't need to be thinking about what's for lunch or what the children have to do in school tomorrow, Monday. We don't need to be thinking about things that are of earth right now. And I'm not saying it because I'm saying it. But God is blowing a trumpet. He's been blowing the trumpet, and He will continue to sound that trumpet. He's got something He wants to tell us that's critical to our survival. Brother Jerry didn't get to where he was on Brother Jerry's strength. He talked about praying. He talked about reading. He talked about the presence of God being the fortress and the bulwark in his strength. We need to understand that. We need to prepare a solemn fast, prepare an assembly and a fast before the Lord, and not necessarily going without food, but an emptying of our minds and an emptying of our the things that are important to us or we think are. And hear what the proclamation that followed is. I'm going to read all of this, but I'd like to read some of it. 21st verse, part of this proclamation. First of all, don't fear. Why is there, I wonder, and I don't think I'm the only one that's ever sensed this or maybe even felt it, why is there a standoff to the Holy Ghost? You ever thought about that? I'm not saying you, I'm saying it can be. Have you ever noticed that maybe there's a little bit of, oh, I want salvation, I want to be forgiven, I want to go to heaven, but the Holy Ghost. What's this about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit? Here's what the trumpet was saying, the proclamation. He said in the 21st verse, fear not, O land, people, those who hear the voice of the Lord today. The trumpet is sounding, and part of that proclamation is, this that's coming is wonderful, do not fear. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. God wants you and me to know that in His perfect love, there is no fear. There is nothing for you and me to draw back from. There's nothing for us to fear the Spirit of God about. God has and wants to do great things. And who does He want to do it for? For the angels? I think not. For the animal kingdom? I think not. I believe who the Lord wants to do great things in the presence of and directed toward and for our good is us. God wants great things for you. And He has given them to us, yes, through the blood and yes, through Jesus Christ and certainly through His Spirit. 25th verse now. Like I say, we're leaving out some reading here for time. Part of this that God wants to do is restoration. 25th verse. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. God sent some things, and that's what He's saying. And the reason was to turn, punishment, yes, but to turn men's hearts. You know, life has a way of robbing and inflicting harm on us. Our own mind can be our enemy, and often is. Our actions and our appetites can be a detriment to our goal of serving God. Have you ever, in your desire to serve God, had to battle an appetite, and I don't mean just of food. Have you ever had to battle an emotion? Have you had to withstand up against human reasoning? Life without God, life without the Spirit of God, can exact from us a toll that we need restoration. Part of the sound of the trumpet is He came to restore. And the Lord is a quickening Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord does not bring death. It quickens and it brings life. You and me have been introduced to our own thinking, and many times a product of that is the canker worm or the palmer worm. It's the worm, the parasite, the bug that gets on the potatoes or the tomatoes or the other fruits and the vegetables. And the garden becomes diminished. You and me have the wonderful privilege of being renewed in spirit this morning. We can be a possessor not only of a knowledge of God and not only a knowledge of the Holy Ghost, but we can be an habitation of God through His Spirit. We can actually possess in us. The proclamation is going forth. Blow the trumpet. Sound it. We can be a vessel of honor. We can be a partaker of the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to fear. And we don't have to dread the results of the Holy Ghost living in us. The Lord came that our joy might be fulfilled. He went back and He said, it's expedient that I go away, because if I go not away, the Holy Spirit whom I have sent in the Father's name will not return or come. The part of the joy of a Christian is the Holy Ghost, the presence of God. It's the essence of what God wants for us. It's the savor of Christ leading us and being part of us, restoring what our own thinking has taken from us, restoring and giving new life where we have submitted to the carnality of the flesh, where we have been lazy and insolent, or where we have been less than what we knew we should be. And hence, the garden. Maybe the walls are broken down. And maybe brambles have filled over where there should be grapes. And maybe now wild grapes have taken over. God wants to come into our hearts, folks. He not only wants to forgive us of sin, but He wants to restore a new heart. He wants to restore a new spirit. He wants to place in us something beautiful, something rich, And what is more rich than God Himself living in us and reigning in us? Let's go down to the 27th verse now. Maybe we'll read 27 through 29. And ye shall know, this is part of the proclamation. Now you remember they blew a trumpet? They sounded the horns. The herald went forth. And that which was to follow, Revelations is something like that. That which follows, listen, good news. Wonderful tidings from the throne of grace this morning. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. The one place God wants to be is in the midst of His people. You'll never find God satisfied outside of His people. Adam and Eve sinned, God was not satisfied. He cast them out because of their sin, but His heart's desire was to be with them. When they went out to the thorns and the thistles, guess who went with them? Guess who still strove with them and talked to them? God. Went out into the barren land. God will go into the barren land with you because He has some good news He wants to proclaim in our ears. God wants to live in us, in our humanity, if you will. I say that in this sense. God knows we're human. And God has an intensity of love, and He wanted from the get-go to dwell in the presence in the midst of Israel. Where was the tabernacle? Was it out on the edge of the camp? I don't think so. Was not the tabernacle designed and the tribes arranged? If you got a bird's eye view of it, right in the midst of all of it was the tabernacle of God. And who dwelt there on the mercy seat? Wonderful name, the mercy seat. Who dwelt there? God Himself, in the midst of His people. May we see in that a love. May we see in that mercy. An intense, intense hunger on God's part of wanting to be with us. And I'm saying it so with lack of word power. God so wants to live with us that He hungers after it. He has gone to the extremities of extremities. He has sounded the trumpet over and over and over. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Over and over and over has God manifested to man, I love you, I love you, I love you. Don't fear me, don't fear me. Don't run from me, don't hide from me. I know you sin. I'm going to go out into the thistles where you are. You're the one lost lamb, the two lost lambs. And I'm going to go where you are, not to beat you or to kill you, but to cradle you in my arms and bring you home again. I want to be with you. That's God's desire. If God was wanting to be a punisher, He could have said, zap, you're gone. Or zap, you're in hell right now. No, that's not what God wanted at all. Thank His holy name this morning. He wanted to be with us. He wanted to hear the laughter of our children. He wanted to hear the songs of our children. He wanted to hear a husband and wife talk the little sweet nothings, as the song says. The little whispers of, I love you. Of honor and support. He wanted to be with us in the judgments of life that we would know how to behave righteously. Bring honor to His name. He wanted to walk through the garden of our life and see fruit of glorious honor and praise to Him. He desires to manifest Himself among us, not just here, but in every day of our life. You children that go to school, God wants you to be such an instrument that He can just have pleasure sitting in the desk right with you. He wants to be with you, children, in school. When you have a test coming up and you're concerned, you're fretting whether you're going to pass or not. God is interested and He wants you to tell Him that so He can help you. God is just totally, totally dedicated to us. Don't fear him. And he went on then, 28th verse. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit. What is God? God is a spirit. And what does God want to do? God wants to pour himself out upon us. What a blessing. To be totally consumed by God. To be totally dedicated to God. To be a vessel of honor unto God. What higher calling could there be? And yet, people fear him. They see him as restrictive. They see him as judgmental and angry. I want to tell you something. God has never been that way to me. When I honor him, when I obey him, that is the most liberating experiences that I've ever had. When I yielded to him for my sins and confessed them before him, he cast out fear, he cast out condemnation, and I was totally free. As I journeyed with the Lord, and I was happy too, as I've journeyed with the Lord, and I have felt uneasy, and I recognize the flesh is talking to me in a way that I don't want to do it, but yet there's that struggle. And I've gone to him, pled my case, not to do it, but my plight, my battle, the struggle, giving it to him the best I understand, and ask him for help, there's always been glorious freedom. There's been a release, and that something better has came in to take its place. This morning, God wants to pour out. He wants you to get all wet. He doesn't want you to just run through the sprinkler. God wants you to be immersed. Some of the new clothes, garments we have today, hard to get them wet. You ever seen that? I got some pants. They got stain blocker or something in them, they say. And me not being the most careful fellow on the block, sometimes I get ketchup and mustard on my clothes. So I'll run in there and I'll get the shout and some of these other things my wife has in there, and I'll go to work on it. And did you know there are some garments that you can't hardly get them wet? You got to soak them. You got to scrub them. I don't want to be like those garments. I don't want to be a garment that the water of God's Word and the mercy of His Spirit and the call of His love, kind of like water on a duck's back. Be humble. Be tender. Be pitiful. Recognize our need. Lord, I can't even make it if you don't hold my hand, the songwriter said. Submit to Him. Submit to His will. And His will is that our joy be full. And aren't we such a strange race called man? God has promised the awesome God, the mighty God, the sacrificial God, the Father of Jesus has promised our joy is to be full. The angels sang joy and peace and all these things. And we hold on to our ways. And we make it hard for God to bless. We make it hard sometimes for God to sprinkle us, folks. We're so busy. Well, I've done God a favor. I went to church twice this month. So busy, it's hard to be on time to service. And yet we want the blessings of the Almighty God every day in our life. We want God, I'm speaking as a man, we want God to do the sacrificing if He's already done it. And I believe He's looking at us. Have you proclaimed the fast in your heart? Have you gathered together with the solemn assembly? And I mean that in a very broad-based. Have we paid the price? Have we made the sacrifice? Have we gone out of our way? Have I hungered and have I thirsted? Have I desired it more than my daily bread? Have I wanted God so much that everything else had to go into second place? God has done it all. But I want you to know, folks, God is wanting us now to make a sacrifice of our heart, our lives, so He can thoroughly wet us. That's my burden today. That we be totally, completely immersed as God pours out His Spirit upon us. You know, I've got a little bad habit, my wife and children say. I'm dangerous with a water hose in my hand. I just can't resist if you walk by and I'm watering or washing the car. I just got to do it. Well, I know better. I don't have to do it, but I do it. And you know, who likes to be sprinkled with water? Not me. Not me. Not my wife. My sons got to the point they wouldn't be around when Daddy had a water hose. No one likes to be sprinkled that I know of. That 98.6 degree temperature and then that 60 degree water hitting you just doesn't mix, does it? And you ever notice we pray for rain, but we don't like to get sprinkled by the rain? It's uncomfortable. But have you ever noticed when you plunge in, the water's fine? A few years ago, well, quite a few now, Karen and I was out with my son on his boat out in New Mexico. And way out there in the boondocks, big old lake. And had a life jacket on, you know, her long swimming trunk things on, T-shirt and all that on. We just a little family out there. I was standing on the edge of the boat, touching the water. Folks, this is in July, and that water was still cold because it was snow melt. And I was debating whether to get in that water or not. I'd sprinkle it on me, you know who? My sweet wife decided for me. And all of a sudden, I felt these two hands on my back. And the next thing I know, I was blowing bubbles in this big old deep, deep reservoir in New Mexico. I came up less than happy with a great big gasp. But did you know what? For the next few hours, I almost stayed in the water. We don't like sprinkling. But folks, once we get immersed, it feels good. We enjoy it. May the Lord help us today. If you've settled for a little sprinkling of God, you might find that distasteful, a little uncomfortable. But when we've made a sacrifice of everything we are, and we have plunged into the depths of His love, I promise you something. There's a joy that cannot be explained. There's a peace that absolutely passes understanding. It cannot be explained, but it can be experienced. I want us to think about that today. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Now, folks, I didn't study all the timetables on this, but the trumpet was to sound in Zion. And I believe this. Before I can take this message to the world, I've got to settle it in Zion. I've got to hear the trumpet in Zion and respond to the trumpet in Zion. I've got to allow that which is going forth from the Lord to Zion come into my heart and be real. Then it becomes real in my testimony. It becomes real in my life, becomes real when I tell someone else. Then it's not a club, it's not a fraternal organization, it's not a place just to gather to have good times and hear the drums. It's not an experience of false doctrine to teach me that I can be happy in my sins. I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. It surmounts all of that. It's a mountain. It's not one of those little hills out there. But it's the mountain of the Lord. It's the truth of His holiness. And it's not just the preacher or the Sunday school teacher saying it then, but it's real in my heart. But I know of no other way but than to be fully immersed in Jesus Christ. Fully immersed in His love. There's so much more we can say this morning, but we'll stop here. Where are we today? Are we a dry? When I say we, I mean individually. Are we a dry and parched ground? People in sin are that way. Are we damp but uncomfortable? Is there a tastelessness in our mouth and our spirit? I believe the word, Jesus used the words lukewarm. Is there a lukewarmness in us? You and me? One of the hardest places you'll ever sit, folks, is straddling the fence. They'll try it sometime. Very uncomfortable. Maybe today some of us are very uncomfortable because we're straddling the fence. Joshua said, choose. God is God and servant. Let Him be all in all, and let Him be the master of our life, and let His Spirit come and live and dwell in us. Today, I hope we're all fully immersed, thoroughly wet, out of our very inward being flowing rivers of living water, ministering not only God within us, but that water flowing out, a healthy influence and ministering to the world around us. We're some type of ground, aren't we? We're some type of vessel, are we not? Every one of us have a spiritual identity. Every one of us have adjectives that can be laid to us and put on us as accurate. And that's my character spiritually. That's my character in my mind, my heart. I don't know what they are. I don't need to know. But God knows. And God talks to us about our names and about the adjectives and our descriptions. If it's not where you're comfortable, God said there's a river to swim in. It's a river that you and I can be immersed in. A river without a bottom. A river that flows from the throne of grace. So this morning, let's be wet. Let's just be thoroughly, thoroughly drenched. Let's just stay under the fountain. The songwriter said, I lift my cup. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench the thirsting of my soul. God wants that fountain in us. God wants that fountain alive in us. That the thirst not be quenched from the outside, but the thirst be quenched with a new heart, a new man, a new identity, new adjectives. May the Lord help us this morning. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Blow it loud. And the announcement to follow is, don't you fear? The Lord is going to do great things. I am going to heal the land that the canker worm has destroyed. I am going to pour out my Spirit on all men, all women. That's the good news. And you and me this morning, we have the wonderful privilege, not to mention responsibility, to come to this fountain now and be immersed in Jesus Christ. You pray for me.